Welcome, folks, to another inspiring conversation that we have. Tonight, it's my privilege again to introduce to you a powerful internet personality. Her name is Denise Maxwell. Denise is one of the major drivers behind Caribbean TV World, and she also has a social website, Jamaican Diaspora. She'll be doing a very important interview this evening. Listen in. Denise, take it away.
Well, thank you, Chris. Hello, everyone. We have an exciting show for you today. My first guest is Tanita Whittle, and she was born in Mandeville, Jamaica. She received her bachelor's degree from Northwestern University, went on to earn her MBA from Roosevelt University, and is currently working on her doctorate in business administration. Hey, hey, big up the Yachty. Her interest in global economic development peaked while conducting public health expenditures in Mexico City, Mexico. Whittle is the founder and president of Whittle Pert, which is a social consulting business that has helped businesses to become socially responsible and implement economic development projects. She's also the founder of Bronze Taleti, which is an innovative online media outlet to expose the authenticity of businesses around the world. She's also serving as managing global program strategist for Renegade, CEO for their program branding in South Africa, Singapore, Colombia, India, United Arab Emirates, United Kingdom, Canada, Yachty, Jamaica, and the United States. Currently, Tanita sits on the board of directors for Technology for Humanity and Winneka Youth Organization. She's also part of the NFL Bound to Glory Technology Youth Program Initiative. In addition, she is a member of the Metropolitan Club, Longevity Foundation Gala Committee, City of Chicago After School Matter Regional Advisory Committee, and the Business Alliance Committee. She is sat on Chicago North Lawndale Wireless Committee, sponsored by Motorola, that has supported a wireless initiative for low-income families. Tanita also serves on the local Youth Build AmeriCorp Advisory Board. We're not done yet, folks. I tell you, we've got some exciting people. Alfonso Rountree is a former professional NFL player with the Miami Dolphins and an accomplished entrepreneur. Prior to becoming a professional football player, Alfonso was always a strong proponent of mentoring young people and creating economic opportunities at the community level, which eventually inspired him to start the Treehouse, which provides academic, athletic, and training opportunities for the youth. Alfonso strives to make positive impact in the lives of young people through motivating speaking. He has recently accepted a partnership as a global guest speaker with Chicago-based Weekly Pearl Social Consulting Company, where he will make his debut at the upcoming Youth Economic Business Seminar on August 22nd in Jamaica. Drawing from his experience with working his way up from the neighborhood streets in Florida to playing collegiate and professional football in the National Football League, paired with his global experience in countries such as Canada, Scotland, Netherlands, Germany, Alfonso will seek to youth on the importance of having persistence and cultural sensitivity and inclusion to involve as an entrepreneurial leader in today's intricate global economy. Welcome, Alfonso. Our next guest, Shanika Proctor, is a founder of Group Initiatives, a Washington, D.C.-based company that designs and implements experimental training programs with a focus on youth entrepreneurship and workforce development. Her custom design programs have been implemented by the U.S. Department of Labor, and she's based in Chicago, And she's partnered with the Little Pearl organization. Since 1994, through her speaking, books, mentoring, and coaching, she has professionally been in touch with many youth, over 2,300 to be exact, in the U.S., and in countries such as England, Hong Kong, South Africa, Malaysia, Canada, Bosnia. Together with Whitley Pearl Initiative, she's touched over 5,000 in the U.S. and Jamaica. Welcome, Shanika, and my Alfonso and Panero.
Hi, thank you for having us.
We definitely appreciate it. So, Tenerdo, tell us about your connection to Jamaica.
So, I was born in Mandeville, Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I went to school. My mom was born in Jamaica as well. My family is pretty much still there. Grandparents are still there, aunts, uncles. They're all there pretty much. And then I have a couple, you know, in, here in the United States, in New York and Florida. So hello to them as well. But, yes, I'm definitely Jamaican, so.
That's wonderful. You know, well, this is the diaspora, and we've definitely dispersed. Why did you start Whittle Pert?
You know what? I started Whittle Pert not based on how it was right now. When I first started the business, it was called Total Networking Consulting, and that was when I was in college. It was sophomore year at Northwestern University, and I remember doing my first business card, and I thought my business, you know, I was so focused on, you know, you're young, you want to make money. So I was like, oh, I want to build a consulting business that, you know, revamp HR departments, finance departments. But along the way, about in 2005, I started working with ex-offenders, and I started working for an organization called Youth Conservation Corps in Waukegan, Illinois, that ran Youth Build AmeriCorps programs. And from working with those ex-offenders and with nonprofits such as Youth Conservation Corps, I saw how powerful it would be if more businesses took interest in social initiatives, because those nonprofits, you know, they're the core of building strong communities, because they're the ones touching these at-risk young people, at-risk families, low-income families. And from there, I changed my business concept to focus more now on social consulting and providing economic development growth.
So I can see you clearly have a heart for the disenfranchised, I should say.
Yes.
What gives you that specific passion?
You know, I've always been into, like, volunteering since I could remember, 16 years old, 17 years old, volunteering for, like, Habitat for Humanity. I think for me, I grew up in a very privileged situation, not necessarily upper class or middle class, but I grew up in a situation where even though we were poor, we stood together. The family unit stood together. And unfortunately, so many kids don't have that. Their parents are in jail. Daddy's on crack. You know, whatever it might be, their story. And so for me, I realized I'm so fortunate and blessed. And so if other people can learn to just reach out to other young people, or other companies or other business owners, but just the world on a whole, it would definitely be a better place. And so I developed that from looking at myself and how blessed I was.
I see. You are focused on empowering individuals by leveraging community resources. What brought you to this formula?
To this particular, you know what?
That formula.
It's so funny because I could sit here and say, ooh, I got it overnight. But it's been probably 10 years in the making. I'm just getting to this point, making mistakes, learning
so it's like
personally.
An evolution, you should say.
Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. Whether you're Oprah or Donald Trump or any other big business owner, I don't think it happened overnight. You know, the success is there, but a lot of people forget about the hard work that you have to go through to get to that point and the learning experiences.
Yeah, I see. And then since you said it's an evolving, how did you learn about engaging companies to be involved in the social good of the community?
Well, it was from starting to observe how nonprofits operate. A lot of them did not have a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet they were trying to hire on high-power staff. And I figured, how could we decrease their budget, but yet increase their manpower? And so one of my realization was if we got other nonprofits or other businesses to come in to provide services, for example, if you're skilled in technology, why not donate some time to a company that is based in technology or a company that needs someone to come in and help revamp their computer system, why not give them a couple of hours so that they maybe don't have to hire a full-time technology person on staff because they really cannot afford it, like a corporate company. And
wow.
So from there, it became this massive project of not only getting companies involved, but individuals, and it kept growing. And so my goal right now is to connect WeToPeer to as many countries as possible and all those countries to eventually connect them together, provide resources across the globe.
I see. Most folks are focused on getting a job rather than creating opportunities. Why should they consider the path of entrepreneurship?
You know, entrepreneurship is so great. I will say this, from living in Jamaica and coming to the United States, you can clearly see that entrepreneurship is definitely something that can help Jamaica because all the resources that are here in the United States, such as being able to leave college and get a job, even though the economy is bad now. But in Jamaica, even when the economy was considered good, you left college and then you still was probably working in your grandma's shop, grandpa's shop, because there's not that many jobs. And so if I can teach young people from the time they're 14 years old all the way till they're 21 years old, how to get engaged in entrepreneurship through the WeToPeer Economic Development Business Seminar, then I can at least teach them how to create opportunities for themselves in business rather than having to go on 10, 20 interviews to try and find a job at a company that just cannot afford to even have them. But the key is to teach them how to create micro-businesses and socially responsible businesses that are going to help uplift their community and maybe help solve an issue of their community, not just to create a business that just exists, but a business that truly has meaning to help revitalize the Jamaican economy or any other country economy that we're working in.
So what are the certain traits that you look to determine embracing of entrepreneurship?
I think for one, people have to be flexible, and you have to be willing to take some risk. It doesn't come overnight. Whether it was working with Al or Shanika, and I, you know, the funny thing is that Shanika and I met on Facebook, and we knew each other for like 2 years, and we didn't realize that we were both starting our own company. And you have to just be able to trust people and be able to see that you can align yourself with people that have the same initiative as you. And it's always great to set a foundation, too, for yourself, your values and principles. Always get caught up in trying to make money versus giving back socially. And that is the hard piece that a lot of people don't focus on, is really looking internally within themselves and saying, what is my integrity and value system so that along the way of creating my business, I don't ever sell myself out.
I see. You practice your craft in an international community. Do you see certain common traits among people in different cultures? I.e. the stereotype that say Jamaicans have 6 jobs. Do you remember the show in Living Color? And that running joke, like, oh my
you
God, you're Jamaican because they have about like 10 jobs.
That's crazy because people have been telling me that since college. I'm a true Jamaican because I always had more than one thing going on.
You sure do. I'm telling you. I mean, everybody in my family, they all have.
Right, but, you know, that's how it is. It is the truth, but that's how it is. It's kind of like you can't just do one thing. It's like, oh, my goodness, I have to tie my talents together. But the one thing that I see in common universally is that, especially on the social entrepreneurship side or the social side, period, of people wanting to just help other people, is that those people genuinely want to help. The amount of time that they put in could not be counted. And from Shanika and or Al that has worked in nonprofit or just social or volunteer capacities, they'll tell you we work way more hours than if we're working for a paid job that was giving us a 6-figure. And it's because we love it. People who want to give back just do it that the clock doesn't even work anymore. Shanika the other day, I woke her up and I'm like, do we ever stop working? You know, because it's like you constantly just want to brainstorm and create and innovate. And so that's a unique feature, I think.
Parents play a major role in influencing their kids' career choice. What advice would you have for them as they seek to consider the future career opportunities?
You know what? I'm going to ask Shanika, because Shanika, what she does is she transformed the kids from the WeToPeer Economic Development Seminar, into becoming CEOs as we see fit for them to become CEOs and run their own company. So she actually does the hands-on training. Believe it or not, she's the one that has to, you know, really get in there and really work with the parents. Because sometimes the parents too don't really see the capacity that the kids are able to fulfill or the true measurement of the kids. So Shanika, if you want to answer on that one, that'd be great.
Sure, it'd be my pleasure. In working with youth, I see that parents are often guilty as teachers and other adults in the community. Tanita touched on it, what she just said. They don't really see the capacity and the potential of their youth, their teens or young children, even though they always have high expectations for them. So they kind of cancel out their own requests. And so what they tend to do is try and help their child versus empower them. And help means they try and paint the picture for them. But the best way that young people, especially in the teenage and the development, developing years, learn is through experiential learning. And that means you tell a story, but without a moral. And the teen or the young person draws their own lesson from it, and they're driven intrinsically. So obviously parents do have a lot of influence over what their teens are doing, but when it's too much, you know, teens become anti-whatever. So what I try and encourage parents who say they don't want their kids to pursue entrepreneurship because it's not the safe way, per se, what I tell them is, in developing the skills of an entrepreneur is needed regardless if that's in your personal life, your professional life, your academic life, or your community life. Even if you decide that you never will ultimately run your own company, it's the mindset of an entrepreneur that basically builds the innovation, your drive, and your independence. So it's good that they learn those skills regardless, and it's obviously best to do it when they're at home trying to find out where their skill set and their value add is. So.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely agree because, like Shanika said, regardless if you're going to run a business or not, a lot of people don't realize entrepreneurship would make your life so much easier if you grasp that concept and use it in your personal life. It's really about organization, being able to think clearly and have a defined process of how to get to point B. And so it's a reflection of everything else that we do.
Mm-hmm. I see. So basically, the heart of your program is a 7-step stair program, right? So could you summarize these steps and their importance?
Right. And so you're referring to the Teen CEO book that Shanika is the author of and also the publisher, and we have co-branded and agreed to co-brand that book. And so it will be used globally at all for a training seminar. So Shanika can actually give you a quick breakdown of all of that.
Okay. All right. So we'll go back to the experiential learning piece. If I was teaching a teen how to run a business, a lot of programs that work with teens focus on theory, for instance. And the challenge that this presents is that when you work with disengaged and disenfranchised youth and youth that are outside of the U.S. and don't really understand a lot of things about our culture, that they see it almost like taking standardized tests. Like business is interesting to them, but it's not approachable in theory because it's not something that they see or are exposed to in their everyday life. So if I was to teach kids and teens how to start a business, my 7 steps that I use, the first one is giving. The second one is dreaming. The third one is playing. The fourth one is leveraging. The fifth one is branding. The sixth one is connecting. And the 7th one is repeating. And that applies to anybody anywhere in the globe at any socioeconomic level. They can understand those simple terms. And within it, probably not what you're expecting, huh?
I understand those steps. Can you share a story or two regarding success of this program?
Sure. I have teens that have written and published books. They've launched onto the public speaking circuit. They've built businesses from scratch up to four figures a month, you know, $1,000 a month in revenues. And they've created and hosted their own branded charity events. And, you know, all of the kids that I'm working with are between the ages of 13 to 19 years old. But if I was to walk them through this program, the business that they originally thought that was good for them becomes something much more intrinsic. It's like at first they would be thinking of, I want to do this business because I'm good at it and I can make a lot of money. But what they learn through the program is that passion is not what you're good at. It's what's good for you and what fulfills you. So even if they have no clue of the thing that they love the most, like how to physically do it, that is probably the best business for them because they are driven by that thing. And for instance, I have one boy that's in California, and he always loved skateboarding. So the most obvious thing was, I'm going to become a professional skateboarder. So he gets so injured all the time. So he was like, I don't think I want to, like, break any more bones. So he decided to, and mind you, he was 15 at the time he started his business. Then he decided he wanted to make skateboard decks. And those are the, you know, the wooden thing or the painting where you're standing on, you know, on the actual skateboard. Well, he found out that was too competitive. So I told him about, like, entrepreneurs who solve problems, and that problems equal opportunities. And too many times, entrepreneurs are not successful because they don't want to go after something that is apparently so small and not appeal to the mainstream. Well, going through this whole process and coaching with him, within a few months, he went from selling decks to designing ceramic ball bearings for the skateboard. So the thing
that
makes
more
roll.
Technical, and because it's more technical, it gives him a competitive edge.
And he was interested always in science and technology, but of course that's not cool when you're with your friends. So you do something that you want to be seen in a certain light with. But once I started coaching him, he said, well, I don't really know how to make this, but I have this idea in my mind. So we went from the process of him drawing a rough sketch, finding some engineer to actually make the technical specs, sending the specs to China where multiple people, multiple companies manufactured them, sent him the samples, and then actually getting his own branded bearing, which are distributed in stores all throughout Southern California right now. And he's been so successful with his program that he was my first teenager to be able to sign a lease on his office space with no co-signer.
That is pretty incredible. How do you envision those workshops impacting this community?
The workshop that's, you know, for us, the workshop is happening here in the U.S. In Jamaica next month, as you can see, on August 22nd. Mm-hmm. And for us, that, you know, the We Appear Economic Development Business Seminar is meant to really teach kids about several things, the macro side of doing business. A lot of time people in entrepreneurship camps or seminars or programs, they teach kids, okay, what's my target market? What's my branding? But they never teach kids, like, how can you strategically connect your business globally? And that is why we have the foundation of technology that we use to teach kids about the virtual world of business. So we're trying to teach them, if you're getting rice or a product from China that is in your store that is in Jamaica, for example, then maybe you need to also understand the Chinese economy as well and how they operate. And so that's the first goal, is the macroeconomic side. We also teach them about government relations and how that can help them as well. In addition, we want to teach them about general life skills, the job readiness, the college readiness side as well. And we also focus on the cultural side. It's never just about teaching them entrepreneurship, having a business. It's about also looking at your country or other countries and realizing what the needs are in Jamaica. You might think that it's great to start, you know, a shoe store, but if you haven't done your demographics research and found that, okay, people in that community can afford shoes, then what's the purpose? You have to find a way to connect to the community in order to develop really good business. And that's where a lot of business owners, you know, they do fail because they want the business concept to go out in the stores tomorrow, but they didn't properly research whether or not it really fit the need of that community. So that's crucial. But with the use of technology, we're able to teach them to go beyond their community and sometimes still be able to connect outside in other countries to be able to get that product or that passion that they have that Shanika spoke about to be able to still have an opportunity off it.
Let's see. If others would like to bring this vital workshop to their community, what would you advise?
For us, definitely reach out to us. We're on Facebook, all those other media properties. And you can also see what we currently do. So I always say research first. You know, I'll get some people that say they contact me and they're like, well, we want to do what you're doing. And they don't really understand the real picture of what the Rita Peart Youth Business Economic Development Business Seminar is. And it's really about training kids from a young age, working with them all the way through college, and teaching them about the global world and how their community needs help through businesses. What Shanika does is help to filter out kids that she thinks can become little CEOs. So they have to be willing to walk the kids, you know, through these process. You can't just hold a seminar and that's it. You have to be willing to go through the process where Shanika then says, if you're good and we think you're fit to be a CEO, you have to have the commitment to be able to work through getting a book published, setting up your business, learning the proper structure, doing media, you know, all those things. And then the last part of it is, as we're working with you, if you're not able to own your own business, you have to at least have the commitment where you're able to push the kids through to perhaps get to the level where our company, Rita Peart, will rehire them to become consultants in those countries so that they can help financially challenged companies.
Mm.
So it's a process. So we don't really sell our brand, and we don't allow anyone to run these programs except us because it's a four-step process. And it's meant to create revitalization in the countries that we work, because the ultimate goal is to have a deployment of young people around the world that are working back for at-risk companies and connecting them and tying them together.
I see. You have an upcoming event in Mandeville this August with the New
Yes.
Testament Church of God. How did this arrangement come about?
This came about because...
Tell us a little bit more about the event. I understand Alfonso will be involved in this.
Yes. So Alfonso, I'll actually start off with him, but I can give the specific first. The next Rita Peart Youth Economic Development Business Seminar is going to be hosted in Mandeville, Jamaica. It will be at 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. At 2:30 p.m., the families welcome back to see graduation. Technology for Humanity, which is a great technology company here in Chicago that I've been working with and sitting on the board for, and also branding out a program for Comcast with on the economic development side. They're sponsoring a laptop for the highest score on the business exam. And that business exam is meant to test the kids of what they've learned in 5 hours. So it is a very intense course. It's not a come, you know, have social hour. You really do learn things at that particular time. And so they have been fantastic to be able to work with us for it. Also, Alfonso comes in because he's going to be serving as our guest speaker, and we are using the usage of technology to be able to conference him in to be able to speak to these kids. As we grow out the other entrepreneurship programs as well, he'll be flying in and out to speak at those conferences, and he has a powerful message, and so I kind of want to introduce him. And, I definitely love the fact that he's on board with us, because so many kids, too, think playing in the NFL or getting to any, you know, spotlight position in life means that it comes overnight. And he has a powerful story of how he worked and went to Canada, played in Canada professionally. So I wanted him to speak a little bit about what he's going to bring to the table and speak to those kids about in Jamaica. So, Alfonso?
Well, thank you. She's exactly right. You know, my part in all of this is really to try to reach out to the kids and let them know that, you know, that attaining any level of success is definitely going to take a lot of hard work, a lot of determination, sacrifice, being able to overcome adversity. You know, because even in starting your own business, although the kids may want to do these things, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. You know, it never is. It's just like Tanita mentioned earlier. I mean, for Donald Trump and Oprah and all these people to get to the level of success that they've attained, it wasn't easy. It wasn't a red carpet. Wasn't rolled out for them the day they were born, and all of a sudden they were millionaires. So through my story and my journey in making it to the NFL, you know, I try to share with these kids a powerful message and motivate them and empower them to, you know, want to continue to work on and overcoming adversity and overcoming all the different trials and tribulations that they may run across in their journey or in their pursuit of becoming an entrepreneur. And through, you know, this program is such a powerful program, and it definitely gives these kids the tools and the things that they may need to help and launch them in the right direction. And so my goal for my part in this is just to really to motivate these kids, to empower them and leave them, you know, feeling motivated and really strong and good about this endeavor about being an entrepreneur, whatever it is they want to be in life, you know, even if it's not to be an entrepreneur, but whatever it is that they choose to do, let them know that, you know, through all of it, they can do it. No matter what, as long as if they make their mind up and their choices to be successful, then they'll become successful. And that's my part.
Right. And just as a back reversing, however you want to put it, but Alfonso is absolutely fantastic. You know, he has an international experience from being in Canada, Scotland, Netherlands, and Germany. And so he's kind of seen the world. So it was very easy to pull him on board what we're doing. And teach him, you know, as well, what is it that each young person around the world in different countries needs are. And the universal language is most of them just want attention, for someone to speak to them. And a lot of times we think that kids need something massive, the Nintendo, the video game, the weed station, the big Christmas presents. But all that stuff is meaningless if you have not taught your kid the proper life skills. And with his experience, it's absolutely fantastic that he's able to share the downside, the upside with, you know, doing so many things in life and the different countries he's been at. So he definitely brings that to the table, and his inspiration to start the Treehouse to provide academic, athletics, and life training to young people as well.
I see. When you decide to take on a project, what are the variables do you consider implementing?
On the economic development side, because what we've been speaking about is mostly the youth side, which is just a sub-initiative of my company. The main core of my company is economic development seminar, economic development projects. And for that, I look at three things. One, we do have limitations, so we only work with companies that, for example, have an audit of at least $500,000 and above. For a lot of us, when we do pro bono work, we should have contributed over $5,000 of pro bono work, which Shamika's company altogether, we probably have done well over 15,000, 20,000 hours of pro bono work in the years that we have been together. But for us, we'll take on pro bono work where we will look at a company that's new, upcoming, starting, whatever it is, and we'll assess it based on the needs that it's going to meet, to what country. Because once again, some people have ideas of economic development projects, but we're able to weed out which one will not fit certain communities. And we can tell because they haven't done their demographics research. So if we don't feel that project is going to meet a need of the community, we won't work with that particular company. And thirdly for us, we always want to make sure that every company executes its project. It does no good for us to spend hours and hours of working on a project only to find out that 1-2 years later the company is no longer in business. So we really look at really whether or not they're able to sustain and have sustainability, not just in terms of bringing in dollars, but do they know to function well as a business so that we don't read about their name in the newspaper. Because certainly we'd appear does not want to, you know, create bad businesses. And so for us, it's really even about the person too that's heading that company, really evaluate what we think about the person's character in terms of how they're represented in the community or respected. And that's, you know, that's one way of us making sure that we're socially responsible instead of being driven by money and just taking on any project. We want to make sure it fits the community.
Let me ask you this. Where are the areas of need do you think Jamaica should focus?
For Jamaica, you know, once again, the issue even for me living there and going through school there for a little bit and then coming here and still having, you know, younger cousins that are going through the school system there in high school, the issue is always, where do I go after college?
And that's
one of the biggest questions. Where do I go after college? And so for us, if we are able to train and work with universities such as University of Technology in Kingston, which we're working out a partnership with, if we're able to go into their business development sector and train young people in entrepreneurship, train them in what we're doing here in our consulting side, and then employ them ourselves in within that country to be able to go back and help spread the word and the message of what we're doing, which is helping businesses to stay alive, then that's one way we are focusing on the labor part of Jamaica, and that's a powerful piece that can help to revitalize Jamaica.
I see. How can the Jamaican diaspora help in facilitating in these projects?
Well, I must say you guys have already done a fantastic job by just having us here, because once again, the more the message get out, the more people are contacting us. So thank you to you and Chris for just having us, first of all. Secondly, for us, this, we love the fact that you're also going to run our documentary. So thank you about all the kids that we're videotaping around the world that have done these seminars and that work with Shanika and Renegade CEO. We love that. The third part is for us to continue that relationship and to continue to create a space where young people, businesses that are considered at risk, can perhaps go on and submit their needs to us. Like we said, we take on pro bono work. So sometimes people are scared to approach us because they think we want money because, you know, when they hear that we're international, they just think, oh, well, high-end company. But we're very down-to-earth people. And so if we can create a space, whether it's on your website or through your other media properties, just to let people know they can submit to us a one-page proposal, letting us know how we can possibly help. Even if it's on a pro bono case, we're definitely willing to consider it or consider how we can bridge other resources to them to build back up their company.
Okay. So this is open to, say, not-for-profit NGOs can utilize your services?
Yes.
Oh,
we definitely welcome anyone that feels that they can provide us with some connection to establish economic growth. And for sometimes people think that economic development projects has to be this massive, you know, constructing a building that's going to house low-income families. But sometimes all it is maybe creating a little program inside of a school that's going to help with the life skill development, help to take away obstacles from the kids learning opportunities for chemistry and biology. You can't have a kid learning biology and chemistry if there's no life skill development for them to learn how to overcome, you know, their mom being a crack at home or their mom not having enough money. So even if you're calling us to say, hey, can you design a youth program for after school that's going to teach kids how to talk about these things and solve those problems, we love it. We're currently working with the NFL Alumni Association here in Chicago to build out a youth technology initiative across the country. And that fits into our bigger picture of having Comcast coming, which has already come in and provided in-house internet at a discount price for all those kids that graduate from that program. So we love the fact that, you know, it has economic development can be small or it can be big. And it doesn't have to be an organization. It can be just one individual that say, hey, can you implement this project or help me to do it?
Oh, okay. And finally, tell us about Bronze Talia and what does they mean?
Yes, so Bronze Talia is the name of our up-and-coming magazine. We are doing the first online edition coming this December. We're also doing the first publication next December that will be printed. We are dedicating that magazine, one, as an innovative outlook for business owners. And that magazine looks at business owners not when they get to the jet-setting part, you know, of their life and they're in airplanes and flying and making $1 million, But our goal is to show young people that even if somebody's making $10 million today, they had a starting point in life. And that starting point might have been $0. But we want to get their story out. In addition, we want it to be a place where other business owners can submit stories about their struggles of their business. Because once again, it can also help other people to want to connect with them and help them to revamp their company. In addition to that, Shaniqua will also be a contributing writer as well for the magazine about teen CEOs. We want all the little CEOs to see it's okay. You can try an idea. You can be a CEO at 13 years old. That's fine. It's possible. So it's a really great magazine that will only publish once per year. And you can find more information on that on Facebook as well.
I see. Well, it was definitely a good talking to everyone. So to learn more about Chris Daly, you can visit yardgenius.com or his blog on jamaicans.com. Click Me Thinking. To learn more about Jamaican Diaspora, you can visit jamaicandiaspora.com. Tanita, you have the last word. How can your audience get involved with you or any of our distinguished guests with your projects as well as your company?
Yes, so there are several different ways that you can get involved with us. The first is simply submitting, first of all, any proposals that you might have for an economic development project or any connections that you want to have to our youth program to info@wheatlepeart, that's wheatlepeart.com, info@wheatlepeart.com, and you're able to send us an email about, you know, anyhow you want to get in touch with us. Feel free to also call me via cell, 312-731-3196. It's pretty much open 24/7 because my mailbox is never empty. And in addition, look up on us on Facebook. We're on Twitter as well. We always post different events that we're doing and keep everyone up to speed. In addition to that, for Brosi Tatelli magazine, look us up on Facebook as well and Twitter. And I'll also pass this on to Shaniqua, who will also tell you how you can get involved with us on the CEO development side for young people and our branding across the world for young people. So, Shaniqua?
Yes. You can contact me via email if you want the traditional way. And my email is teenbizcoach@gmail.com. If you want general information, which is actually pretty comprehensive about my company, you can visit me on the web at renegadeceos.com. And there you will find the founder page and all of the initiatives we're working on, and that page is always current. I'm on Twitter as well. My Twitter handle is @teenbizcoach, B-I-Z coach. And my phone number is 202-580-8336, which spells teen, the last four digits. And if you would like to read about my book and my program, I actually have a dedicated website for that. And that is under teenceobook.com. And with that, I'll close it out. If someone isn't able to reach me through one of those ways, well, I'm not sure what to say. But
right.
I'll pass it on to Alfonso now to close it out.
Well, you can reach me. I can't give out my cell because I know it'll be
But if you do want to get in touch with Alfonso, definitely feel free to do it through Weedle Period as well, if that's easier. But definitely go ahead, Alfonso.
Yes, or you could check out my website, which will be coming out really soon within the next few weeks. It's aroundtree.com. It's just like it sounds. And there you'll be able to get some other contact information as well. So, and that's pretty much the extent of how you can reach me.
Right, and my last word is, you know, everyone out there, get and become socially responsible. The issue of this world is also your problems as well, because sometimes people affect you with their issues. So definitely become socially responsible. And I just want to say as well, congratulations to Shanika, who is also coming on board with WeedlePeer to become our Vice President of Education globally, to oversee a global summit, business summit that will take place here in the United States, in Washington, D.C. And we're hoping to give away a laptop to every young person, 200, 300 young people that attend that summit.
Oh, okay. Would you mind giving us a little bit more information about the summit in Jamaica? They'll just contact your website if people in the diaspora will want to be involved in that or donate. They can just go to your website, correct?
Yes, they can definitely. The easiest way to do it is through the email info@weedlepeer.com. For me, I'll be in Jamaica early, so you know, the cell phone's still free to call me, even that cell phone number, while I'm in Jamaica as well, but I'll be there for a couple of days. The program is of no charge, so you can do a walk-in as well that same day to apply.
Okay. Thank you very much for spending some quality time. Guests, Alfonso, Shanika, and Tamiro, we definitely appreciate you spending some time with us, and we appreciate all the positive energy you've sent to our community.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.